Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. How are actions, in a way, testifying faith or belief, tikva, hope, tochelet, beginning? This is from the David and Bathsheba story, because usually in our life we don't we don't have this frame of the expression of hope, but ever whatever is being done or is been done through is an expression of hope. Even the fact that we are breathing, because we are not causing ourselves to breathe. And I'm moving from David to the morning prayer. In Hebrew, there's a morning prayer, which is named Mode Ani Lefanecha, I thank before you. And it starts like this. Starts, yes. Mode Ani Lefanecha, I thank before thee. Melech El Chai Vekayam, a king which is alive and existing. This is how it starts. I can read you, I just want to show us all how faith, belief, and hope is streaming through us without us being aware of that. And I'll try to find a prayer, because I would like to read it to you and translate it. There's a storm outside. Yes. Here. Trying, because there's like different sides and it's not clear. Modeh ani lefanecha, melech el chai vekayam, שהחזרת בי נשמתי בקרבי, בחמלה רבה אמונתך. Look, let's read it together. מודה אני לפניך, I thank before thee, מלך חי וקיים, living, existing, king, infinite, שהחזרת בי נשמתי, that you return my soul into me with a great compassion. How deep is your belief in me? The fact that we wake up in the morning is a great act of belief. It's not for granted that we are waking up in the morning. Some people, they go to sleep, they don't wake up. So the first morning prayer in Hebrew is Modeh Ani Lefanecha, I thank before thee, great living king, existing king, that you return my soul into me. How great in compassion you are, because you believe in me, because the fact that there is a returning of the soul to the body, it means that there's a great faith. The infinite believes in us, otherwise we were not breathing here. So just for this, just this is an example. Even if we don't believe with the mind, with the brain, I have a depression, I don't have a mood, I'm lazy, I'm dazed. The infinite has belief, has hope, has trust in us. Because the fact that we are waking and breathing in the morning, this is not for granted. Another example of daily living, of how faith is working through us. Let's take it from the biblical story of David and Bathsheba. David was a king. Bathsheba was married to Uriah. And He fell in love with her, and there was a romance between them, and she's a married woman. So he was trying to remove her husband, so to speak, from the frame, from the picture, and he sent Uriah for the war to appear in the first line. And the one who is standing in the front line in war has a lot of, let's say, chances to be killed. Okay, so Uriah is there in the battle, but Sheva is with David, and she's conceived, and not from her husband, but from David. It's in a way outside of the marriage, pregnancy. But the pregnancy did not continue because of the complicated, let's say, data around it. And David was praying all the time that the pregnancy will continue. So he was like fasting and praying and like asking that this will, let's say, fetus will live and so. But once it was clear that this pregnancy goes nowhere, he just removed his dresses and took a bath and took his beard and anointed himself with oil. Yes? So we don't think about it. This is just an example from the biblical story. But we don't have this frame of reference that even daily actions, which we would not consider them as important. Yes, washing, yes, to have hygiene life, and of course, yes. But this is an act of belief. To wake up in the morning, to shower, shampoo, and all of what is needed around it, taking care of, let's say, nature. This is an act of belief. We don't think about it like that. Oh, I'm just hygiene, not to have whatever, corona, not to get cold in the winter, whatever. No, this is an act of belief. Sorting the house, I mean, fueling the car, it doesn't matter. But all those actions which are moving through us is an act of belief of whom? Not of ourselves. By names, John, Peter, Paul, Mary, the infinite has a faith in us, therefore he streams life through us in various ways. Fueling the car, taking the children to school, bringing them to tennis afternoon, cooking, writing, playing chords, it doesn't matter. Reading a book, sending a message to a friend, listening to music. We don't look at this like this. We don't look, yes, at life through this lens. But this is the life. And this is the truth. The infinite has trust in us. Therefore, we wake up in the morning. We could not also not wake up. And we can say, there is a word in Hebrew, tikva, tikva. Luria, he was a great teacher of the 16th century. He says, what is tikva? You can open the word tikva, hope, into two parts, tik and va. Tik is like a bag, like a sack. And va, he says, this is vav and hey, it's all the matrix of time and space. So all the matrix of time and space is being held in this pocket, in this bag called tik. Tik in Hebrew is like a tote bag. Tik. Tikva. Va. Vav and hey. Yes, is the matrix of space and time. And va is in a way being carried by the tik. I mean the tote bag. Yes. Is holding the whole matrix of space and time. This is one, yes, reference to look at it. Another reference is that in the word tikva we have kav. which is a line. So once there's a hope, yes, there's like unseen line of communication. You can see a telephone line, you can see a telephone cable, yes? But hope is an unseen communication. Hope is usually in the heart. It's not to be seen. Another relation to tikvah is mikveh. Mikveh, have you heard the word mikveh, a source of water in which people are dipping in? Source of water, have you heard this name before? When people are going to dip? Have you heard this before? Mikveh, Abigail, Yannis, yes, mikveh. Mikveh, it's a verse from the Bible. Mikveh Israel. Yeah, the being, yes, is the source of hope. Mikveh Israel Hashem. This is a verse from the Bible. Mikveh Israel Hashem. Mikveh is a lake, a source of water, pure water. Let's find the correct paste. 1 second. Yes, this is from which book? Jeremiah 17:13. Jeremiah 17:13. Mikveh Israel Hashem. The being is a source of hope to Israel, to the tree of life. Mikveh has the same letters like tikvah. Look, mikveh is a source of water, mikveh. And here you could look at tikvah. When mem is 40, yes, mem is 40 and tav is 400. So you see, it doesn't change it. Mikveh Israel Hashem. There is a school here that they established in the last century, agriculture school. Because there were many immigrants that were coming, and it was like a boarding school to learn agriculture and to help people settle the land. And the name of the school is Mikveh Israel. Not just a source of water, Mikveh, like from the Bible, from chapter 1 in the Bible. Yikavu hamayim, gather the water. This is what happens in the first chapter of the Bible. As regarding to the third day. Yikavu hamayim el makom echad. That the all water will gather and assemble to one place. Yikavu, will assemble, will gather from kav. Yes, will gather into one place. Mikveh, like one source of water. So, again, and we can see when in day 3, when there's a saying, Yikavu amayim, that all the water will be gathered and assembled together, yes, suddenly there's what? There's a dry land to be seen, like stable, dry land. There's like stopping of movement, and there's like a solid ground. Mikveh, Tikva. Mikveh is a source of water when people are dipping it. And this is also where people go and dip. When people are sometimes depressed. Some people are taking it as religious obligation, yes. But some people, when they want to like feel fresh, and they go and bathe in the rivers or sources of water. Or take a shower. Whenever you take a shower, you go out, you're a different entity. We're not entities, but please notice the moments before you enter the shower and after you go out from the shower, it's completely different feeling, because sometimes you go out of the shower, out of the bathing, it's like completely different spirit. Yes, and the spirit of God is hovering upon the face of the water, and you dip in the water and comes a new spirit. There was a beautiful visit that we had in Germany a couple of years ago. we were in a city called Worms. It's a city that used to move during the history between France and Germany, but now it's under this German. And we visited Rashi's house. Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, he was a great scholar, a great teacher. He lived in the 12th century in Germany, and he wrote the complete, it's almost unbelievable what he did in his lifetime, but he wrote interpretation, explanation of all the Bible, meaning 5 books of Moses and the whole Tanakh, meaning Torah, 5 books of Moses, Nevi'im, prophets, Ketuvim, the written, like Job, Tehillim, Mishlei, and so, Mishlei's Proverbs, Psalms, and so. So he wrote the explanation, interpretation to hold the Bible, and also to the whole Talmud. There are 6 volumes of the Babylonian Talmud, and he wrote also interpretation for that. So this is something that even in our times with all technology is just amazing what he did. So we went to the city of Worms to visit his house, and next to it is like a compound of a room, a house, and also there's like a synagogue which attached to it, like a house of prayer. It was rebuilt because it was like in the war, in Second World War, the city was like trembled by the war, but you can see through the lens of time that there's a compound that used to be once a house and a house of prayer. And if you go outside to the court and you walk the stairs in the stone, but it's very, very steep. It's not like modern stone. It's very, very ancient from the Romans time. So, because the city sits on ancient ruined Romans structure. So we took the steps down from the court of the house of Rashi, and then in the, how do you say, space in the rock under the stairs, there was a mikveh. A mikveh, like a source of water, meaning in the stone, in the rock, people dug by hand a space, like a space in the rock, like square, like a cube, and this cube is gathering water, and it was mikveh. People could dip inside to purify. Imagine now we have running waters, there's a water pipe running inside buildings and neighborhoods and cities, but 11th, 12th century in Europe, people used to, if they used to go and bath, it was like in rivers or lakes, if it's optional in the winter when everything is frozen and there's a snow and there's no so much communication, only like, how do you say, carriage, no cars or so. So in this Rashi compound, and when you go through the stairs, it's very, very steep, you discover a mikveh. This is amazing. This is just amazing. And what is more amazing is that you can see the, so it doesn't have much, how shall I explain, describe the feeling inside? Because when I'm speaking with you, it's like being there again. And then you go and it's under the ground. So there it's dark, it's shade, not dark, but it's like shade space. Very, very shade. And you notice the water and you can walk around this cubit, around this square that holds the water, and the walls, the rock is very wet. But when you lift your eyes or head upstairs, you notice a little frame, like a little window, not window, but opening for air, a little square, like, let's say, 60 centimeters on 60 centimeters. And this is what gives the light, yes, to that illuminates this mikveh. And it was like, wow. It was just amazing, because you can read in the books that how, because the water was not created, the water was there. And once we read that the water is a second, thickened light. And you, in this moment, in the mikveh, you could see what the sages are saying, because there was like a vague light coming from this opening. It was like, in a way, this opening was like Noah's Ark, but it was really, really little, just to stream a bit of light, not too much light, because people are bathing. And so you could see how the source of light comes from upstairs, like vertical source, goes into this cave and slowly illuminates, not directly the water, and the water are dark because no direct light is coming, so, and the water are thickened than the light. It just was very, very, I don't know, nobody expect this. When you go, and we were, invited by the host to visit, and we thought, okay, Rashi's house, and we read about Rashi's house in the internet, in Wikipedia, and blog post, and people were like sharing photos of the synagogue, and there's also a little museum, and in this compound is everything is there if you happen to be in Germany in Worms. It's amazing. So there's a little museum, and behind the glass there's like a book of prayer, and there's a Sefer Torah, a scroll, and its house, which has a dressing that was stitches and tailored by hand of many, many centuries ago. And there's all kinds of, let's say, cultural symbols that come with it. So it's a museum. So we read it's a museum. And there was a professor from one of the German universities. She was explaining everything. She was a professor, and she was located, installed in this House of Prayers of Rashi, and she was sharing whatever she knew. And someone says there's a mikveh. We did not know. And this was such a... Everything was very impressive. The cultural, let's say, exhibition of his house, the ancient Torah book that was kept like 900 years old or so. There is a cup, I think, we took pictures. There was a cup of wine and so on. Shofar, I believe, also the horn. But when they say mikveh, and then you go in those stairs, and just amazing. And they dig the mikveh according to the knowledge or the tradition. They say 40. There is cubit. The word cubit in English, in Hebrew, ama. This is the measure that we have according to human measuring. The space between the elbow and the palm, the hand, the elbow, the space or the length between the elbow of man, including the palm or the source of the palm, is called amma. Amma is a measure, is a cubit in English. And the measures of the mikveh are also had been given to us. And the measure is 40 cubits, according to the mem. The mem value of mikveh is 40, so the space of the mikveh is 40 cubits. And this is amazing. Weinreb writes in one of his books, he gives the pure mathematics of mikveh. How does it go? And the more he goes to the mathematics and abstract the letters into numbers, behind the letters of mikveh and behind the numbers and 40, there's 144. This is Adam and Emet. Yes, Adam is Aleph Dalet Mem, is 1, 4, 40, and Emet is 1, 40, Mem 40, and Tav is 400. So even when you go to the word mikveh, which also the source of hope, tikva, and you abstract, and he dug all the abstraction, he took all the mathematics. Once we were sitting, I think it was even Corona times when Jeff Peterson was here still, you were sitting and abstracting the mikveh. You sit with the board and just taking numbers, you reach this equation, Adam Emet 144. So when people are using usually the mikveh, now we have showers, there are swimming pools, people say, hey, you don't have to bath in a mikveh or so, because there are showers, there are swimming pool, there are showers at the shore. It's not about that. It's not, this is something completely, because just an example, this particular mikveh is curved in the rock. And it's not that it has like, it is amazing. It's not like modern building or some. I also visited here a modern space. It was completely like a swimming pool. It's completely different. You feel something very, very ancient about it. Even before, I don't know, before people could write or something. Very, very ancient relation. So what happens, why people go into the mikveh and they dip, and one of the conditions is not just, you dip also the head, not just the shoulders, the head also. And this is very important, this part. I remember I was here going, and the lady said, the head inside. She was like checking that everything is... The head, rosh, the thoughts... The brain is in the head. Rosh, head, resh is 200. This is duality. So the most important thing in a mikveh is to put the head under the water, is to cancel in a way, for one moment, our thoughts. And they call it they have this word in Hebrew, but I'm not sure it's, I can translate it in it into the moment. But the word to deep in Hebrew, taval, litbol is like to deep, yeah? To deep. Taval comes from Tov and El. El is the name of God, and Tov, El. In divinity is good. But when we reassemble the letters and start with bet, tet, lamed, is like to cancel, to drop. Yes? To drop out the process of thinking. So what is happening in this acting of dipping in mikveh, in water? For a moment you put the head under the water. Is by putting the head under the water, there's a cancelling of our thoughts, because our thoughts, it's not our thoughts, the thinking process which is happening through us creates a sense of false entity, like we are entities, like we are statues, and we have personalities, and we have stories. This is the process of thinking which is happening through us. So what is beautiful about the dipping in the mikveh? Then the moment that the head is going under the water, there's a cancelling of the head. The head, in a way, does not count. The thinking, the thoughts, the images that we have, the perception of the world, the perception of, so to speak, who we are, our stories, our measures, our stories, they're all being cancelled to the infinite, which is nothing. So what happens in the event, so to speak, of Tvila? Tvila, this is the dipping in the water, Tvila. There's a cancelling of the thinking. It does not count. And once after second split, you erase your head from the water and there's like a fresh start. There is no thought engaged. And then you feel like a birth. Because the thinking stops. And this is a very, very rare moment. This is so beautiful. So people sometimes before holidays, they go dipping, or sometimes once in a month lady goes and bathes and so. And there is no limitation, but there is a sense of we are not in charge. And what happens after the dipping in the mikveh, there's a great relief from the burden, from the story. There's like new beginning. Yes? Like we said, mikveh, tikva. So why people are going and dipping? For hope. This is an act of hope. Yes, Yanis, what did you want to say? Every time that we don't give much attention. Find a mikveh wherever you are. And whenever we don't take seriously the thinking, which is quite mechanic, there's a great relief. There's a great relief. And this is so beautiful because the thinking process is mechanical. Mechanical as the distribution of blood cells when there's a new life. Just it's going all the time. Nobody asks us. It's going all the time and it's mechanical. It's mechanical like the tree sends its leaves through the branches. Mechanical, just happens. This is the print of nature in us. Yes, so there's no, in a way out of it, but there's a perspective to it. This is not who we are. It's just mechanically happens. Like the tree calculates, not that the tree itself is calculating, but nature is calculating through the tree, and there's a decision now, just split, and comes a new branch, and from the new branch comes a new leaf, and so this is like mechanically happens. Also inside of us, the thinking is just something which has happened mechanically, according to certain mathematics. So don't get take it seriously. So what did we learn today? Tikva, hope, and mikveh. So what is the relation between tikva, which comes from kav or unseen line, and mikveh, when all the waters are assembling to one place, duality is being assembled to one place, and there's like all those disturbed thoughts and so coming together, and there's a great peace. To too deep in those waters, which are an expression of time and space, to be equal. It's interestingly, because Rosh head starts with Resh, 200, duality, and we put duality under the water, they cancel each other, there's a new beginning from zero. It's beautiful. Yes. Sometimes in life you just walk through what life brings and you have no, it just happens, like this visit in Germany in the city of Worms, and I was trying to write about it and I was writing a letter, I remember in those days, you cannot express this, I think, what happened there, just can't. If you happen to be in Germany, go and visit Worms and the house of Rashi. There's like a house, little house, and little museum, and there's like exhibition. There's a house of prayer, there's a court, and there's a mikveh, like ancient, curved by hand in the rock. I wish that everyone could have this, I don't know having, but if you ever, yeah, it's not a must. We did not expect, it just happened to us. But it's beautiful to share it. Any questions, Abigail? Yanis, any question that you would like to ask? Would you like to share anything? If not, I would like to thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you, Abigail, for the donation, great donation. Thank you, Yanis, wishing you all the best. There are photos here of the Yerba Mate. Yes, and I wish you good recovery and happy deeping whenever you are capable of it, if you feel like it. Thank you so much and lovely week, and hope to see you after the storm. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov. Thank you.